This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Possible tornadoes. What do they have in common? We're talking about both here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Let's start with the death penalty. The president called for the death penalty in a newly announced opioid attack plan. He was in New Hampshire, and in New Hampshire they struggle in this crisis. Third worst state, in fact, as of 2016 in a survey released by the CDC. So the president said that, listen, why not seek the death penalty against drug traffickers where appropriate under the current law? Shocking, smart, or an idea whose time has come and gone? A lot of people with a lot of opinions on this, and it is terrible, the crisis that we're in. In fact, initially, there was a harder line that was taken with the administration on the death penalty against drug traffickers. In the initial version of what the press was going to say in New Hampshire, it was going to go like this. The death penalty should be sought for certain cases where opioid, including fentanyl-related drug dealing and trafficking, are directly responsible for death. Thinking that was just a little too strong language-wise, it was taken out. But he's taking on the opioid crisis and not pushing back on an extreme idea. This has been whispered about before, never suggested by a president. But when you look at the information as to what's happening with the drugs and where are they coming from, and the fact that you have thousands and thousands of people who can die from one ring of a prescription pusher who's getting them illegally, it is an intriguing idea. The death penalty was created as supposedly a deterrent for others not to commit heinous crimes. And also for those who commit the heinous crimes, the judging that they have victimized somebody or several people to the point of they need to go. Some countries easily, as the president suggested, would cut your head off for what happens as far as pushing drugs and what has caused the opioid crisis. So 4 months after the press said that this is a public health emergency, this decision is we're going to go for it. This is an emergency declaration pretty much, and we need to make something happen here. So these are some recommendations. And one of them is that recommendation of the death penalty, also an awareness campaign to educate on the dangers of prescription and opioid abuse, the implementation of safer prescribing plans, so cutting down the opioid prescription fills by a third over the next 3 years, and calling on Congress to pass legislation that reduces the threshold amount of drugs needed to invoke mandatory minimum sentences for drug traffickers who knowingly distribute certain illicit opioids that are lethal in trace amounts. And I'll tell you, it'll be interesting to see how far this line moves when it comes to the opioid crisis and the influence. So the CDC has labeled it as epidemic. There were 42,000 deaths from opioid use. And what does opioid use include? Well, fentanyl, heroin, prescription drugs. And why New Hampshire? Because New Hampshire is a horrific place for it. And it makes the list behind West Virginia and Ohio, who have just slightly more deaths to report as a result of it. So it's interesting when you see and hear these comments where do you draw the line when it comes to pushing these drugs? And it's terrible to see some of the younger people that get hooked on this. It's terrible to see what happens. Of course, you could say, well, there's free will, but there's free will to a point. So where do you decide that this is where we have to, stop this? This is how we have to stop this. And this is how we do it. If we decide that we're going to have the ultimate price that's paid, which is with life, then is that going to really act as a deterrent to those who are pushing drugs, especially to kids? Be interesting to see. In the meantime, while that's happening, other gems are dropping out of the White House. And one of them is the fact that you got a bunch of positions that need to be filled because of recent vacancies. And there's conversation about, well, where does this all end up? And is it too much of a revolving door in this White House after the whole Rex Tillerson thing and then the McCabe deal? And the fact that McCabe is let go before he gets his full pension, and you know, so what's next, and where, in what direction are we going? And the answer is, I think the president is looking to Mattis and others that he trusts to fill certain positions. And listen, one thing I do know is there's not a shortage of people who want to step up and work in the White House. So despite the fact that it might be a short tenure, at least it was for many, that isn't deterring people who are interested in filling those spots from having those conversations, because there's a lot of that going on at the White House, right? And with the McCabe situation, the tweet, etc., the conversation about the former FBI director and is he going to get sympathy because of his pension, you know, not being there. And some are saying, listen, he could be in jail. That could be his biggest problem, that really he should be focusing on that, because it shows that there is actually a smoking gun against the Bureau, and he's mixed into the middle of it. There's those allegations that Andrew McCabe engaged in wrongdoing, and if proven, then that includes asking FBI agents to change interviews with witnesses, and of course, that would be a big deal if they could prove that, and that's really true, and I've heard this a couple of different times. Bottom line is, can we get some justice, please? Can we go deeper and not have as many corrupt officials who seem to have their pockets, their hands in other pockets, and it makes the spotlight shine on them and make us question, should they even be in these positions? And then, of course, the Russian collusion. Still out there, still being investigated, and still being pulled apart. Hang with us.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Party. You had a great time. You're with a bunch of people from your neighborhood. And this time you decided you'd walk because it was just a couple blocks over. It's a decent night outside. And all of a sudden, kaboom, you hit a tripwire and a bomb explodes. That happened to two guys walking through their neighborhood on Sunday morning. There have been 4 explosions that have rocked Austin, Texas. And 2 people died. 2 people were injured in this latest explosion. You have federal agents all over the place. You have people in Austin who aren't sure what's going on, but they're scared to death. And it's bombs that are going off in what I call a radius in the bubble around the city. So it's a serial bomber, is what they're saying, the police are saying. You got 4 times in a month something explodes. It was left, this latest one, on the side of a residential road and triggered by that tripwire I mentioned. There are similarities between that device, though, and the 3 other bombs that went off. They were stuffed inside packages, how nice, and left on people's doorsteps. This is a serial bomber, is what it is. And the idea of the tripwire, it's a little sophisticated, a little higher level, if you will. And I'm sure that's what the police are talking about, and that's what they're saying. So you got police departments in Houston and San Antonio that are sending bomb technicians, canine teams, anything they can to try to help solve this riddle. The Texas governor added more than $265,000 in emergency funding for police to get more portable X-ray systems to detect the bombs and investigate the packages. And you've got a neighborhood that had to be on lockdown on Monday because they're investigating the pieces of evidence that were blown across a wide area. And they're asking anybody in the neighborhood with security cameras to release their footage so they can look at it and maybe they'll find something. It is frightening. It's frightening because it's the unknown and it's concurrent. So do people feel safe? Do they not feel safe? You have to be alert. It was a random bomb. You could say, yeah, it's a random bomb. But I don't know. Four going off in a month is a lot. And maybe the tripwire is going to lead them to somebody or lead them closer to somebody. Because they're changing things up a little bit. But they're just talking about being vigilant. But see, here's the thing when they tell you, well, be vigilant. I'm walking down the street in my neighborhood. I feel pretty good. I feel safe. We have neighborhood watch. We have great neighbors. And kaboom. Kaboom. Because I hit a tripwire. Sorry, I didn't see the wire. And, of course, looking at packages, bags, backpacks, that kind of stuff, I get it. And I bet you there's going to be people that are fearful, unless you actually encounter the UPS person or FedEx or whatever, they hand you the package. Boy, you come home and there's a package on your front porch. Are you thinking twice if you live in this area in Austin? I think you're kind of thinking twice, not to be paranoid, but I think you are thinking about that. I think this is, it is scary. It's just so random, it seems. Because with the victims, or the potential victims, there does not seem to be any way to look at that and say, I see a tie. Eventually there will be, and hopefully soon, because there's got to be some tie, but trying to uncover it is tougher. Much, much tougher. Another storm is headed to the northeast. The southeast is dealing with some pretty wicked stuff, too, so it's not just New England. But imagine wanting this winter to be gone. I think a lot of people are. When you talk about what the danger could mean, meaning hail, tornadoes, damaging winds. Yeah, boy, in Alabama, I love the peeps in Alabama and Mississippi. And you are taking the brunt of it because this is what happens. It's like a can opener effect. Boom, there goes the roof. Boom. And this is where I think you have to have a storm shelter. If you can afford it, build it, whatever. I think you have to have a place to go. And in the Northeast, it's about snow in Washington, New York, and Boston, Portland, Maine. Our pal Sharon listening up there. They could see a lot of snow. It's snowing right now, from what I understand. Boston could get 4 inches of snow. 3 to 6 in D.C. It's pretty uncertain the path. But they know it's going to be significant. It's going to be significant. So just going through the power outages, the falling trees, with the first day of spring looming, oh, the excitement over that. You can feel it in the air is all I'm saying. Oh, bring it to us. Bring us spring. I know in the Northeast they're saying it, in the Southeast they're saying it, too. But then check in a couple of months when we are deep into the sunshine and we're melting and people are complaining, it's so hot. Oh, I hate this. It's so hot. I can't stand the hot weather. It's the common denominator. We always complain or celebrate what's happening weather-wise, right? The people in Austin wish that was all they could talk about, not this you know, this whole traumatic thing, because it's awful. I was reading the account of the neighbor who tried to revive one of the victims and says it's the most traumatic thing ever. He was sitting on his couch. He heard the blast, and his neighbor died. And it was from a package that was on his front porch, a mysterious package. So Sean Phillips said he was waiting for his children to get ready for the day. We heard it. He said it sounded like an empty trash dumpster getting hit by a truck. It happened right before 7 o'clock in the morning. Ran out, saw him standing there in front of the house, covered in blood, his clothing torn up, glazed over, wasn't responding to anything. He collapsed. He said he gave his neighbor two rescue breaths to get him breathing again, called 911. They did what they could. The medics came, but then he died of the injuries just at 39 years old. And the neighbor said, it is the most traumatic thing in my life. The most traumatic thing. All the packages, average size delivery boxes, not delivered by the Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. But somebody would assume, what would you assume? You pick up a package. You're not thinking it's strange. You're just picking it up. So odd. There's a lesson in this, and the lesson is it might not be targeted to, I don't know, it might not be targeted to individuals. And certainly really kind of looking first at anything that just gets plopped. I mean, we're so trusting. Why are you thinking, even if already there's been a bombing, why are you thinking a bomb is going to end up on your porch? The answer is you're not going to think that. You're not thinking there's going to be a bomb there. Wow. Coming up, Forbes Books at Bedtime. It's one of my favorite people stops by to talk about what's shaking at Marriott. A woman who grew up in the hotel business, a hotel that I happened to stay at when I was in Washington, D.C., and one that would have celebrated just recently because of St. Patrick's Day. So hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side here on America Tonight.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation. Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
All right, once again, we're catching up with Stephanie Linearts. There's just so much to talk to her about. And she is the Global Chief Commercial Officer for Marriott International, oversees all Marriott International revenue generating functions and consumer interactions with more than 6,500 plus properties and 30 brands in 126 countries. We mentioned that a couple times in our last interview. And boy, it's so interesting to think that we've got right now coming up International Women's Day. And certainly if you read the history of Marriott, it's really about empowering women through opportunity. So Stephanie, it's obvious you guys take a very deliberate and measured approach. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at Marriott, our culture has always been the backbone of what makes Marriott so successful, and empowering women has been a big part of that. And this deep commitment to and focus on diversity and inclusion, including the advancement and empowerment of women, is a big part of that. And I think it goes back to our roots. When I think about Marriott started in 1957, and our founders were J.W. Marriott and Alice Marriott. We referred to her as the First Lady of Marriott. She was so instrumental in the company's success, and she played such an important role in key business decisions in the early days of the company. And, you know, she was the first, you know, we always talk about she was the first cook, the first decorator. She sat on the board of directors from the beginning. And I think when you had, she set such a strong, and she was also a mother, right? And a wife and a mother. She wore many hats. And I think she really set an amazing tone for how the company has strived to treat women, you know, ever since then, ever since the founding.
It's really fascinating to hear you talk about that, Stephanie, because you shared with us in the earlier segment we did together about your own family and your father and your mother, and that both your father was your mentor and so was your mother. And in your childhood, that must have been a really interesting thing for a little girl to see her mother having that much influence in a world that was largely dominated by men as the norm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, as I shared with you when we spoke earlier, you know, I grew up in a little tiny version of what it's like to grow up as a Marriott, right, in a hotel restaurant family, but very, very small version of it. And my mother and father were kind of drove the business together. You know, my father more front and center in terms of spending time there day in and day out with customers, and my mom behind the scenes playing a very big role in supporting my father both from the business and raising a family and all of that. And I think, you know, in some ways, I think she was a little bit like Alice Marriott in her own way. And I really admire her as much as my father. And again, so I grew up seeing, you know, seeing the entrepreneurs, seeing a husband and a wife partner together, see how you manage balancing, you know, a family and a business and having a great relationship with the people who work in your business. And, of course, I wasn't around when J.W. Marriott and Alice Marriott were starting Marriott, but I just have a feeling there was a similar type of relationship and situation is what I grew up with, and I can certainly say in my own case it was wonderful to grow up in that type of an environment and to see have a strong woman as a role model.
Stephanie, what's your advice to people, especially women, who are trying to figure out that work-life balance equation? I have a book coming out called Deal Your Own Destiny. Forbes is publishing it. And in one of my chapters, I talk about work-life balance, and I've interviewed all kinds of people about that, and they talk about how challenging it is and how sometimes you just have to walk away from something to try to get that balance right. But I think that's really tough for business women to do, even though you have, of course, the family pull and you want to be with the family. How do you do it? How do you balance it?
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I have school-age children, a busy job. As I shared with you all before, I'm traveling extensively. My husband works as well. So we're the, you know, modern family trying to balance career, family, and so many women across the world are trying to do that. And, you know, I think about this question quite a bit about work-life balance, and in some ways I think the word balance is misleading. You know, there's some new buzzwords coming out around work-life integration and things like that, and to some extent I like them a bit more because balance implies equal, right? You're spending equal time on both, and at least in my case, I can't always do that. Sometimes work takes more of a precedence, sometimes family, and trying to figure out how to integrate both of them in a way that is works for my job and my family, it's tricky. And so, you know, for me, I think it's also about, you know, having priorities and saying, you know what, you can't do everything. Like in my case, there's at this stage of my life, I focus on three things: my family, my health, and my career. And I don't have time for a lot of, you know, anything else really, because it takes up all the hours. And I put my health in there because if I'm not healthy, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, every way, I can't be there for either my family or do a good job for Marriott. So I think of it as, you know, how do I manage those three things? And I don't have a lot of time for, you know, hobbies and all sorts of other stuff, right? Because at this stage, I don't. So how do I get those three things integrated? And one thing that's great about today, and there's good and bad to it, but is technology. I think technology allows women, all people for that matter, to be able to do this integration, right? I mean, I think about, you know, think you have things like Skype and, you know, all sorts of ways that you can, it helps with the global business too, right? Not just integrating your life. But technology has some downsides, of course, but I look at it as a major net positive in terms of being able to balance and integrate. Again, I think it's even a better word, my life.
We're talking with Stephanie Linnartz. She's the Global Chief Commercial Officer for Marriott International. And Stephanie, one of the things I want to ask you, and I'm asking because I'm the guy in the room, right? So there's you, and there's Kate, and there's me. I'm the guy with the voice. I'm really fascinated with things like the growth and the acceptance and the importance of International Women's Day, which is March 8th. And I'm wondering, for a company like Marriott, which, as you have said, has had a woman there at the very beginning making as equally significant contributions as her husband.
Absolutely.
And today you have this incredible job where you have, I mean, you have just an incredibly powerful position. What kinds of things are you all doing at Marriott to help empower women, to offer them opportunity? where is it going inside your company, and how do you see that impacting or being a benefit for women worldwide? Because you are one of the biggest worldwide brands there is.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're doing a lot. And I think it really starts in many ways with our CEO, Arnie Sorensen. He's an amazing leader and has a deep and passionate and real commitment to diversity and inclusion. And he doesn't, you know, he walks the talk. So as an example, nearly half of his executive leadership team, so half the C-suite at Marriott is women, 50%. I think that's got to be at the very highest end for a lot of Fortune, you know, 100 companies. So, you know, my job, chief commercial officer, CFO, our general counsel, the woman who leads our European vision, and our chief communication and government affairs officer. So 5 of his 10 direct reports are women, 50%. On top of that, 8 women leaders at Marriott head divisions with revenue greater than $100 million around the world, and 60% of our managers are women. So, and in the group I oversee, right, I report, as you know, to our CEO, Arnie Sorensen. In terms of my direct reports, 7 out of the 15 leaders on my team are women with a strong set of diverse and unique voices. So to me, you know, we are walking the talk, and that sends a powerful message to all the young women in our company. I think it sends a powerful message to, just broadly speaking, the business community. And I think it's really important to take a moment to step back and, you know, to recognize how important it is that we keep, you know, in a year where it's all about, you know, when the silence breakers were time person of the year, and there's so much focus on this, to take a step back and recognize that while we've made a lot of progress, and I'm very, very proud of the statistics that I just shared with you at Marriott, there's still so much more to do. And I think International Women's Day, and it's a global thing too, right? This is not an issue that touches just one country or one part of the world. This empowerment of women and creating a culture where they can grow and prosper is a global need.
Stephanie, we don't have a lot of time left, but here's the final question. The signature question is what Greg and I call it. We ask all our guests on Forbes Books at Bedtime, what keeps you up at night?
You know, I think what keeps me up at night, honestly, is how are we going to be able to move quickly and fast enough in an age of so much digital disruption? You know, you see left and right big companies being highly disrupted by, new digital players or new digital capabilities. And Marriott International and travel, not just Marriott, is an industry that's been, you know, highly disrupted by digital. You know, retail has in general, but, you know, in hospitality has. So what I think a lot about, I try not to let it keep me up at night too often, but what I think about constantly is how can we be ahead of the curve? How can we lean into this disruption? How can we embrace it? Because you can't stick your head in the sand, right? How can we leverage it to make our company grow and for the next decade? I love that book, you know, what got you from here to there isn't going to take you to the next place, something along those lines, right? We need to think about how we are going to grow our company for the next decade. And so I think that's something from a work perspective, that's something that occasionally keeps me up at night thinking about that.
I love it. What a fascinating interview. What a great job you have. So interesting talking to you. Don't you agree, Greg?
You know what? I would love to carry your bags.
I'll take you both to some fabulous hotels. We've got some great spots.
You know, frankly, this is for another time, but I bet you have some incredible travel tips for business travelers because you're doing it all the time and you're talking to people all the time. We've got to get you back.
Save that for another segment. I'll bring my travel tips. Yes,
absolutely. Stephanie Linhart, thank you so much. Global Chief Commercial Officer for Marriott International. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. ID Stronghold's wallets, sleeves, and badge holders are trusted by the U.S. military and the Executive Office of the President. Something the competitors can't say. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code MAGIC at checkout for a limited time at IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Here on America Tonight, folks, you know this. Are we going to see some kind of brokered convention? What's going to happen in Michigan? As we know, this is D-Day and the back and forth of Trump and Cruz, and then there's Rubio. It's a wild circus, but where does it all end up? Dr. Herb London is with us. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. And Dr. London, you know, this is a question we talk about a lot on America Tonight because everybody wants to forecast what's going to happen and, will we have a brokered convention? So there's the first question. Explain the brokered convention, and do you think we'll really have one?
Well, it's a distinct possibility. Let me just say that it's plausible, although I still think unlikely. What happens, of course, in Michigan, what happens in Ohio and Florida could be critical. If Rubio manages to pull out a victory in Florida, even though he is running as an underdog at the moment, then things do change a little. If Cruz maintains a very close, is rather close to Donald Trump going into the convention, but neither have the 1,237 votes required to secure that nomination, that too is going to be put into the calculus. So I think there are a lot of imponderables, but there is certainly the possibility that this could be a brokered convention. It would be a wild scene, and it's not going to come out well.
What happens if, you certainly get the feeling that the establishment Republicans really don't want Trump, but if it's Trump, they have no choice, right, rather than to embrace him?
Well, if Trump gets to 1237, there is no question that he has got the nomination. And no matter what the leadership in the party thinks, and obviously there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment, he's going to be the nominee of the party. The problem, however, is he's getting the 1237 is going to be far more complicated than even the Trump people think. There are other primaries. There are winner-take-all primaries. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Kasich wins in Ohio, Rubio wins in Florida, and Trump wins in Michigan. Now the race looks a little different, not quite the same. Keep in mind that the distance between Trump and Cruz at the moment is only 90 delegates. Only 90 delegates. You need 1237 to be the nominee of the party. So it's not as if Trump's got this locked up, not by a long shot. And the anti-Trump sentiment is obviously working very hard. Some of that is you call the establishment, but not all of it is the establishment. I am certainly very angry at the Republican Party. Angry because the Republicans gained control of the House and the Senate, and then you look at the last budget bill, and they gave Obama everything he wanted, including an additional $1 trillion to the national debt. I'm appalled and angry at the party, but I'm not a Trump supporter. So to suggest that everyone who is opposed to Trump is part of an establishment is, I think, something of an overreaction. There are many people who do not believe that Trump is qualified to be president of the United States. He doesn't have the requisite background. He doesn't have the temperament. He's vulgar. I mean, there are things that go into this candidacy that I do not think Trump possesses. That's my view. But again, whether it's my view or not, if Trump garners the 1237, I, as a Republican, will support him. But again, whether he can reach 1237 is not at all clear at this moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I agree with you, by the way, about whether he has what's necessary to be the president, etc. Absolutely. No question about it. I think that's the other part of this story. It does show you something of what is out there and what's pervasive in our society, I think. What do you read into that Trump gained this almost immediate popularity?
Well, I think that a lot of it is the fact that he is a national personality. In the case of most people who run for president, you've got to spend a lot of money buying name recognition. Donald Trump didn't have to spend a dime doing that. He is a personality. He is something of a television star. He is someone who is well known. He has promoted himself brilliantly. He is something of an expert on branding. I don't think there's very much there. I don't think he's a successful businessman, and I don't think he's a particularly successful politician, but he is successful at branding himself. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage. The other part of it is people have been looking for someone who I think represents the anger that they feel about what is happening in the United States. The difficulties that we faced in America over the last 8 years under Obama's stewardship have coalesced around a figure, around an instrument who is simply giving a giant finger to the establishment and the Republican and Democratic Party, saying, I'm tired of politics as usual. And that is what Donald Trump represents. People don't listen to the things that he says. They think of him as a symbol. And as a symbol, he represents everything that people are dissatisfied with a politics in Washington as usual. And in that sense, he has a distinct advantage.
We're speaking with Herb London. He's the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Looking at the others, looking at Cruz, you mentioned Rubio in Florida, of course, and all that maneuvering. Of those two, who do you think has the better chance to be there at the end if it's not Trump?
Well, again, I don't have a horse in this race, so yeah. I'm not here to promote a candidate.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is that it's going to be a lot closer than people anticipate. If you actually look at the number of representatives, notwithstanding the fact that Trump has been far more successful in winning the primaries, but if you look at the fact that these were proportional representation, and so you get a proportional vote, the consequence of that has been that the distance between Trump and Cruz is not very great at the moment. And then if you look at the fact that the races coming up are winner-take-all in Ohio and Florida, if, in fact, Rubio gets the 90-plus votes in Florida and Kasich gets the 66 votes in Ohio, they both have a claim. Now, how legitimate is that claim? It's very hard to say. But keep in mind, we may be talking about multiple ballots. So in the first ballot, even if they're not successful, there may be a second, a third, and a fourth ballot, in which case you start seeing deals being made, in which case it's difficult to know how things actually unfold. And it may very well be that Donald Trump ends up with, I don't know, a cabinet position, or maybe even a vice presidency, rather rather than the presidency. You do not know what will actually happen at a convention. And if you look at the history of conventions, it is very clear that people sometimes come from virtual obscurity and end up with the nomination. John Garfield, for example, no one would have anticipated that he would get the nomination for the Republican Party, and yet he did. Again, you know, it's very, very difficult to know if you have a brokered convention, because you will have a party that's split. The reason why I said, however, this will not come out well is because the Trump people are going to be very angry if he doesn't get it. They'll bolt from the Republican Party. Will they start a third party? Hard to know. Donald Trump's assertions to the contrary, you have to realize almost everything that he says is like pie crust. It's going to break very easily. So you don't know whether, in fact, he will actually live up to that claim. And then the other part of it, Trump wins. If Trump wins, I can assure you, a very significant portion of the Republican Party is going to say, this is not for us. We're going to step aside. We're not going to vote at all. We can't vote for Pinocchio, and we're not going to vote for Joseph Stalin, so we're not voting. That is going to hurt the Republican Party dramatically. So again, either way, it does not work out well for the Republicans. And that's very, very unfortunate, because this is yet another opportunity for the Republican Party that will be blown by the party. And again, from the standpoint of looking at this from a historical perspective, this is very sad indeed.
Yeah, so the Democrats must be, based on everything you're saying, and you're right, they must be licking their chops, in a sense, behind the scenes watching this.
Oh, no question. However, they've got their own problem. Because if Mr. Comey, James Comey of the FBI, comes out with a report indicating that there really is criminal behavior that Hillary Clinton has engaged in, which seems to be the case, I might add, and even if there isn't an indictment, but just a report that comes out from the FBI, that report appears in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, in the LA Times, I can assure you that she's going to be flushed out of this campaign. The Democrats are not going to give this nomination to Bernie Sanders. You can't imagine that someone who believes that the means of production should be controlled by government should be the next president of the United States. So that's not going to happen. So in the wings is someone who's going to be described as a savior of the Democratic Party. His name is Joe Biden. Biden will, in a brokered Democratic convention, end up as the nominee of the party, probably running with Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
Wow, that's interesting, too. And, of course, that has absolutely been suggested by others. Do you think we're going to have a record turnout this time around because of a lot of things that we just talked about?
Well, I think that you will have a record turnout on the Republican side, where in the primaries, the number of people who have gravitated to the primary has been astonishing, absolutely astonishing. The increase is on the order of 30, 40, 50% in some states. It's quite remarkable. A lot of that is due to Trump, for which he deserves some credit. So I think that that's very important. The Democrats have had a lagging turnout, in part because Hillary doesn't muster the same kind of enthusiasm as her husband. And Bernie Sanders, as I indicated before, has his following among hardcore young socialists in the United States, who obviously didn't learn any historical lessons from the 20th century. So, again, the Democratic Party is in an odd position at the moment. If, in fact, the Republicans fail, they will fail because they've imploded, not because the Democrats have been more successful than the Republican Party.
Yeah, interesting. All right, it's been a great conversation. Herb London, again, go to London Center for Policy Research. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.